Saddle Up America. I'm your host, Gary Holt, and joining me is my partner and co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Tina, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, Gary?
Well, I'm doing very well, and I think you must be listening to the show in the background. We were getting a little feedback.
It actually popped on. I had it on, and it automatically came on, so I had to hurry up and turn it off.
Well, it's a
good
show.
Nothing like live, you know?
It's a good show. I'm glad you're listening. So, anyway, we've got a great show lined up for tonight, and can you tell us who's joining us?
Oh, absolutely. On today's show, we have Melissa Sells with Showtime Trailers, and she's going to talk about trailer safety and maintenance. So that's going to be really good, some things to let us know about. And then we're going to travel by airwaves to Ivanhoe, Virginia, with Sheila Odom at Iron Mountain Horse Camp.
All right, so that's going to be a fun show, and we'll also be playing trail trivia for Breakaway Halter from Foundation First Horsemanship, and we've got a pretty neat trail trivia question tonight, so we're looking forward to that. And I've got to ask you, Tina Mae, do you know what today is?
Now you really got that, yes. I know that it's Tuesday, and I know that it's August 26th,
National Dog Day, and so I just found that out a little bit earlier, and we've posted pictures on Facebook of my favorite dog, Miss Britches, and if you haven't posted yours,
you
better get them on.
I have to put Taz on there, my Tasmanian devil.
That's right. So it's National Dog Day. So all of our listeners out there, be sure and hug your dog. And we're going to have a great show. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Melissa Sells with the Showtime Trailers. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night, and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-a, I go my way. Back in the saddle again. I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the reins once more, toting my old 44. Where you sleep out every night, and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-a, I go my way. Back in the saddle again.
That's Gene Autry. He's back in the saddle again, and we are very happy to have joining us this evening Melissa Sales with Showtime Trailers. And Melissa, you're up in God's country, one of my favorite places to ride up near the Big South Fork. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Tina. How are you?
Good.
Well, we want to we've got to find out just a little bit about Showtime Trailers before we start on our trailer maintenance and safety. But tell us a little bit about Showtime and how you got started up there.
Sure. We started selling used horse trailers about 10 years ago and then decided that we, you know, wanted to have a business that we could grow and extend that customer base. And we took on the new side of trailers about 3 years ago. But we are a husband and wife sales team. We're very hands-on in every deal. We have two daughters that like to show horses. But we carry several brands, have a very large selection, and we are located very close to the heart and soul of Big South Fork. A lot of nice trail riding in our area. So, yes.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful part of the country, and I know I've driven by Showtime many times on my way up to the Big South Fork, and now I have another reason to stop on the way up there.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So we're happy to have you join us tonight, and I know that you and Tina have been talking a bit, and Tina, may I know you had some questions that you had for Melissa about trailer safety.
Yes, I do. Thanks for being on the show, Melissa. Really appreciate you being on here.
Thank
September's
you.
Around the corner, and mm-hmm. so is the fall riding season. And I would like for you to kind of tell us and the listeners a little about trailer safety, what to check for before heading down the road.
Okay, for trailer safety, when you're getting ready for your fall riding season, as always, you know, you want to make sure that for your trailer, if it's been stored some of the summer, that when you plug up your lights, you have all the running lights, brake lights, turn signals are all working. You also want to inspect your tires, as tires do dry rot as they do sit. Make sure all your tire pressure is ready to go. Greasing up your ball, that's very important. Make sure that you do that. Also, you want to, if you haven't done it in your spring season, check those wheel bearings and check the brakes. Is some things that I can say to get you ready to go.
Awesome. And I know a lot of people, you know, they have the living quarters trailers, and
mm-hmm.
they have the refrigerator units in their trailers. There's a couple questions I have on that. I've heard a lot of people ask this. One of them is it okay to travel down the road with your refrigerator on?
Most definitely. And most of your refrigerators, when you're traveling down the road, you're going to have those on the LP bottles. And, yes, that is safe. It is a way to travel and keep everything cold. And then when you get to your campsite, just switch that right over to electric. So, yes, I think that it's, you know, it is just fine to travel down the road with your fridge on.
Okay. And then my second part to that question is some folks like to leave their trailers plugged in to keep the refrigerator running and all year long. Once they start riding, they like to keep it plugged in. Is this a good idea? And if it is or isn't, why or why not?
Okay. In my opinion, and I have been told by many RV techs, a horse trailer with living quarters, which is the same thing as any recreational RV camper, those units, are not designed as a home. So when you have those plugged on, you have your battery disconnect turned on, and the whole time that inverter is running, therefore it builds up heat and your fan will run continuously. So by leaving your horse trailer plugged up just so that fridge does stay on and you know that, you know, it comes back and it's going to work well when you're ready to use it again, is not really the smart way to go, because you will and can overheat your inverter. So it's best, you know, just to keep those batteries tender throughout the spell when you're not riding or using your trailer, is maybe once a week go out there, plug up your trailer, turn that battery disconnect on, let the battery be tenderized for a day, unplug it, turn your battery disconnect back off, and maybe do that once a week. But no, RV techs and I, either one, do not advise leaving that trailer plugged in 24 hours a day.
Let me ask a question, because you brought up something interesting a minute ago about tires and wheel bearings. And how often should you check the wheel bearings on your trailer? How often should you take a trailer in just to have service done, just to check all of those things out?
I mean, and Tina, I mean, you're up the road just as much as anyone. You are a very excessive trail rider. And for me, for the time that it takes, there's many folks who'll tell you, you know, several thousand miles before you even need to go in there and repack those bearings. But in my opinion, it doesn't hurt. Once a year when you're ready to start riding, if you start riding about March, you know, take and have it serviced just for one day. It's much easier to take it in for an hour packing of the bearings than it is to be on the side of the road with your horses in the heat, and it's just going to be a lot less hassle.
Okay, well, that's good information. Yeah, I know for years I pulled my trailer and I never even thought about the wheel bearings. And, you know, I did go in and have it serviced several times, and it made a world of difference in the way the trailer pulled.
Yeah,
to make sure it was serviced right. And how long should a set of tires stay on a trailer? You know, a lot of times we don't pull our trailer enough miles to wear out a tire. How often should that tire be replaced?
I mean, and Gary, you're going to hear different things. In trailer tires, you know, they rate them for about a five-year span. But a lot of times you can get more than 5 years out of those tires. And the reason is not everyone is going to have a covered facility to back that horse trailer in, because the sun is the worst element. All that heat is the worst element on those trailer tires, meaning it brings on the dryness in the tires, which causes separation. But if you are able to back that trailer under a pole barn, a shed, you are going to get maybe more than 5 years out of your tires. And sometimes it is the quality of the tires, too. But, you know, 5 years is the given length, you know, on a good trailer tire.
Okay. All right. And let me mention... Tina May, let me just mention to our listeners, we want people to become engaged in this show, and the reason that we do it at 7 o'clock in the evening is so people across the country will be able to call in and ask questions. So if you have some questions about trailer maintenance or trailer safety, then we're going to take your questions in just a little bit. And we'll open the lines up for you. And the number you can call to do that is 213-943-3396, 213-943-3396. And so we're going to chat just a little bit with Melissa, and then we'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll take some calls. But we're not going to take that break right now. So, Tina May, go ahead. You had another question that you were going to ask.
I did. There's a difference in tires. You've got your trailer tires, and then I see a lot of people, they think that it's best to put, you know, maybe go out and get a truck tire and put on their trailers and things like that. And I would like your opinion on that as well. And as far as safety, what do you think is best to be on a trailer? I would think it would be a trailer tire.
And yes, I definitely agree with that. Yes, there is some very high-rated truck tires out there. But whenever you are getting ready to purchase tires for a trailer, you need to look at the differences, because there is. On the outer wall of that tire, a trailer tire is going to be labeled, before it tells you the size of that tire, it will be labeled with ST, which is going to stand for special towing, special trailer. So it's a trailer tire only. And with that becomes the different size, you know, thickness of the sidewalls of those tires and the capacity of what they're going to tow. And a trailer-rated tire, you know, the load range on those is significantly different than they are on a regular truck tire. And the best way to look at that is you take and look at your tire. It'll be written very close to the bead, but it will give you what the weight capacity is for each tire. So, and how you know if you've got the right tire for that trailer, go to your gooseneck and you take that gross vehicle weight rating, and then go back and look at your tires. And how you're going to do that, the combined capacity of all the tires together should not exceed the loaded trailer weight by 20%. So that way you know that you have the tire capacity that you need for when that trailer is loaded.
Great information. Thank you. That's So it's trailer tires. That's what you should have on your trailer.
That is definitely what I recommend, and whenever we order new trailers, when they come in off of that line from an engineering for a reason, and they all come in with trailer tires, and they're all rated with a load range that is recommended. And when I say load range, you have a load range anywhere from an 8-ply all the way to a 14, and how you determine what is best needs for your trailer is by doing that simple step of just seeing what the gross vehicle weight rating is of your trailer, and then go back and look very close to that bead wall, add four of those numbers together because you have four tires, and make sure that the weight load that is specified for those tires exceed 20% of what your vehicle weight rating is of your trailer.
Okay.
Tina May, have you got a calculator that you can use to figure all that out?
I'm good. That's good enough.
I was trying to get my boots off so I could kind of do some counting there. Oh, goodness. Hey, let me ask you, Melissa, when people come in to look at trailers at Showtime, do they know what they want, or do they just have a general idea? I mean, is it well, I think I'm ready to go from a stock trailer to a living quarter trailer, or what do you run into when people are coming to look at trailers?
Well, you know, it's a mixture, and you have those who have just begun their search, and they don't know. They'll kind of tell you what they enjoy doing, or they have graduated. And when I say someone's graduated, they started from the ground and worked their way up. They went from that bumper pull to that dressing room, and then from that dressing room, they may have went to a weekend package. And then by that time, they are ready and they know what they want in a living quarter. They know what it needs to function in the type of activity that they're doing with their horse. So, you know, yes, you get a mixture. Some customers know just the moment when they come in, they're not going to settle for anything else. Their heart is set, but they've already been down that road, and they know every obstacle, and they know what makes it work smooth. And then we have folks that come in, and we'll help try to show them, keep them in their budget, but also make a trailer, or show them a trailer, I should say, that is very economical, but will serve every need that they are looking for at that time. So not always, no.
Well, it's pretty interesting. I know that when I started out with horses, we didn't have a truck and we didn't have a trailer. And so we had to ride our horses. We had to ride our horses everywhere we went. I remember showing in 4-H, and I guess I rode 6 miles to a 4-H horse show just to show my horse. And then later on, we were able to get a pickup truck, and we loaded a horse or two up in the back end of that pickup truck, which was a real thrill. from time to time, and then finally, I picked up a used, pretty rusted trailer and had it sanded and painted, and we used that for a while, and then just kept graduating up a little bit into the trailers that we got. I think there were a time or two probably where we had more trailer than we did truck. Does that happen to people often?
That is something that happens so often, and what is sad that someone will purchase, you know, that large living quarter without thinking about what they're going to tow it with, and then they wind up making two purchases when they only had the thought of one. And there is nothing wrong with, I guess I call it, getting your feet wet and taking it slow. And I understand that no one wants to go through the process 2 to 3 times, you know, to finally get the trailer that they want, but to figure out what fits your needs the best, what's going to fit the truck that you desire to drive every day and use without having to change, it's best to take it slow and don't get in a hurry to oversize your unit compared to what you're going to tow it with, because then you're faced with a double purchase, or you're going to have to try to figure out what to do with your trailer and try to resell it and start that search all back over again. So, yes, you're exactly right.
It can be pretty interesting. I've had friends that have had nice living quarter trailers, and then they upgraded, and the next thing you know, they were having to buy a much larger, much more expensive truck to pull that with. But, you know, what do you expect if you've got a fireplace in there and everything else, you know?
That's right.
You
got a home on wheels.
Home on wheels, luxury home on wheels.
It was.
But people also have different areas. I mean, you know, Texas, you know, you got flatter than what Colorado would be. And so I'm sure there's a lot of factors that come into play on size of truck and size of trailer that you're pulling as well.
And I agree with that. And I also think that as a rider, you have to ask yourself, you know, yes, there is rodeos here in Tennessee. You know, a lot of that takes place. But, of course, where it's known at is in that Midwest line. And so for those guys, they're in that trailer weekend after weekend, and they have a lot of dead time that they're killing in between their rides. And then you have those who trail ride. And for that, you know, if they're like us, Tina, when you first wake up, you're in there, you make your coffee, and you're out the door, and you're under that awning, or you're out socializing, getting the horse ready for that day. And from that point, there is a living quarter for everyone, meaning sometimes you're outside 90% of the day when you're out trail riding. You're just kicked back under the awning if you're not riding. But if you are that week-long trail rider, you may desire to have that bigger LQ where you feel you have more space. But, you know, there's a lot of factors, and I think it just depends upon that person and what use they're going to put that trailer to decide what's going to fit them best. I really do. And that's just a personal opinion, you know, but I see it every day.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that. That's almost like, you know, having different shoes. You got to have different sizes, and people, you know, have different things that they like. I sleep and I change my clothes in my trailer. The rest of the time I want to be out on my horse and on those trails and sitting by a fire. You know, I like to be sitting by a fire instead of inside a living quarters. But then there's those that like the air conditioning. They like the comforts of home when they're out, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I would imagine that there's a big variety of people and what they look for in a trailer as well. So.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, we have a lot of riders that will come in, and let's say they're husband and wife, and they come in, and the lady is very in love with trail riding, but the husband, you know, he is, but he's not. So there's not every day that he wants to saddle up and hit the trail with the group and ride. He might want to kick back at the trailer and just rest, or vice versa. And therefore, he does want something roomier, or she may want something roomier to move around in, because after several days of just kicking back in the tight quarters, it is stiff. It's hard to move around. It's hard to get organized. But, you know, you can make anything work. It doesn't matter what you have or what you pull. It's all the love of the sport and what you make of it, you know.
All right, we want to take just a quick break. We've got trail trivia that we're playing tonight, and Tina May is really watching me now on these questions. I mean, she's trying to make sure that we don't make it too difficult. Yeah, too difficult for folks. But tonight's trail trivia is, I think, a pretty simple one, and this is the Pacific Coast Trail. The Pacific Coast Trail runs through what three states? The Pacific Coast Trail runs through what three states? And the Pacific Coast Trail is a pretty well-known trail. It's 2,663 miles long. It passes through 25 national forests and 7 national parks. And so the question tonight is, what three states does the Pacific Coast Trail run through? And we're going to take your answers to that in the second segment of the show, but we want to take just a little break and open the lines up when we come back if folks would like to call in and ask Melissa any questions. And who is our Trail Trivia sponsor tonight, Tina May?
It is First Horsemanship. It's the breakaway halter, which is another safety feature for horses traveling down the road in the trailers.
All right, so Foundation First Horsemanship is the sponsor of our trail trivia tonight. And if you can answer the question about the Pacific Coast Trail, then you're going to win a beautiful breakaway halter from them, and you can find them at foundationfirsthorsemanship.com. When we come back, we're going to take your calls and let Melissa answer your questions. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America.
As I was walking one morning for pleasure, I spied a cowpuncher come a-loping along. His hat was thrown back and his spurs was a-jingling. As he approached, he was singing this song. E-I-O, little laddie, lie easy. Who's your real daddy may never be known. Weeping and wailing and rocking the cradle, minding a baby that's none of my own. Well, it's early in spring that we round up the dogies. We mark them, we brand them, we bob off their tails. Round up the horses, load up the chuck wagon, throw them little dogies out on that long trail. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little dogies. You're a misfortune and none of my own. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, you little dogies, for you know that Wyoming will be your new home. Well, your ma was born away down in Texas, where the jimson weed and the sandburrs grow. We'll fill you up on prickly pear and show you until you're ready for Idaho. Whoop-tie-i-o, get along, little dogies. You're a misfortune and none of my own. Whoop-tie-i-o, get along, you little dogies, for you know Wyoming will be your new home. Now some boys, they go up the cow trail for pleasure, but that's where they get it most awfully wrong. You have no idea all the troubles they give to the boys who are holding them on the bedground. E-I-O, little laddie, lie easy. Who's your real daddy may never be known. Weeping and wailing and rocking the cradle, minding a baby that's none of my own. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little dogies. You're a misfortune and none of my own. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, you little dogies, for you know Wyoming will be your new home.
That's our friend Don Edwards and a great old cowboy song, Whoopie-tie-i-yo. And, hey, you know, if people want to call and ask any questions, Melissa, you're welcome to do that. The number you can call is 213-943-3396, 213-943-3396. But, Melissa, I have a question while I was listening to that song.
Okay.
What is the short wall? I mean, you know, you've got a 4 foot, a 6 foot, an 8 foot, a 10 foot. What does that really mean?
Well, the short wall is how people classify what size of a living quarter they have. And so generally, just so people know, I get a lot of people who say, how do I measure my short wall to know how big my living quarter is? So for wherever your entry door is, you'll have to look at how that wall is made. But generally, let's say your entry door to your living quarter is on the passenger side of your trailer. And if that is the case, you will take your measuring tape and you will start at the front of the box, and then you will go all the way back to your escape door or where that very first horse stall will start. That is what determines your short wall. So let's say you have a 4 foot short wall. You then will have right at a 9.5 foot long wall. But that just tells what size of a living quarter trailer that you have.
Does the size of the wall necessarily mean more convenience, or can you have a short wall that's just as comfortable with the amenities in it?
Oh, I mean, and to me that's all personal again, but you can have a 6 foot short wall and still be very comfortable with, say, with one, no more than two people. But it also has to stand for what you're going to get inside that living quarters, because sometimes when you keep them a little bit smaller, yes, some of the amenities will go away, meaning maybe separate toilet and separate shower, or you may not have a bathroom vanity. You may only get a small refrigerator. All of those things are determined on that short wall foot.
Okay. And I know that as time goes along, trends seem to change. What's the most popular living quarter trailer today that people come in looking for?
You're here in our area. I'm going to say the most popular, most desired short wall length is the 10 to 13 foot. The 10 to 13 foot
wow.
LQ is by far the most popular. Your three horse tends to be the most popular, but we have taken on a new popularity, Miss Tina, and it is the two horse. The two horse in that 6.5 to 7 foot LQ has really become something very popular for us here in our area. For those ladies or men who are single or a husband and wife, you know, and they go for the weekend or they just want something simplicity, easy to get around, that trailer's still small enough. A two-horse, 6 to 7 foot LQ is still small enough for those day trips, vet checks, and even that, you know, weekend or week-long trail riding trip. But the most popular, and I think that would be from most trailer dealerships, not even just from myself, but the 10 to 13 foot LQ short wall is the most popular.
Okay. And do people, when they're looking at a living quarter trailer, are there some important things maybe to look for? Is it kind of important to have a walk through back into the trailer from the living quarters? Not so important.
Well, you know, Gary, it's something that if you don't have, you will wish that you did. And because I say that is that door you will find will be such a functioning thing for you. You can come in that escape door, and let's say you're just, you know, you're muddy, you know, you've been in the barn, maybe you have a lot of manure on you, and you want to strip down and you want to go to the shower just to clean up a little bit. You know, you can use that walk-through door and use your first stall room for just like a changing room and walk right into the shower. Or if you're up there in that living quarters and you need quick access to get back there to that horse area for some reason, that is the quickest way versus having to walk around the whole trailer and go to the back doors or to the escape door if you have one. That walk-through door, if you want to store things in your horse area while you are trail riding, you will find, you know, the simplicity of just walking through that walk-through door is going to change everything for you versus having to get out of your living quarters and walk around the trailer.
Talking about that, too, one of the things that I think is that when you have a three-horse slant and maybe have a stud wall with that walk-through door, that gives you some extra space that maybe, you know, if you have a shorter wall trailer, not as much living quarter space, really kind of makes up for that, doesn't it?
Oh, and it does. You take a trailer that doesn't have mangers. Let's say you have a 7-wide series, and without those mangers, you know, you're going to find all your rain gear, some extra cleaning supplies and things you doctor your horse with, or you have nowhere to put them. And if you put them in the bed of your truck, if the rain comes, they're wet. You don't want to put some of those items inside your truck just because of the salty leather smell. So therefore, you know, a good rule of thumb is, this is a little off key, but it'll relate to it. Let's say two people ride, but you think a two-horse is all you need. Well, it's really not. You generally want to go one horse stall bigger than you need because you will find that you'll use that first stall for storage, and that's where that lower divider or that stud panel, as most people know it, comes into play. That way that horse is not kicking and pawing, and the urine doesn't seem to splatter and get over onto your dried goods in that first stall. So, yes, that's very true.
Okay. All right. Well, this is some great information, and Tina May, you probably have another question that you want to address before. And this has been a quick half an hour, Melissa. I mean,
yes,
great information.
Yes, it has. I got so many questions. But one of the things I wanted to talk about is I want to talk a little bit about maintenance on a trailer. Okay. And I know a lot of people are going to aluminum trailers, and they're getting aluminum floors. And people have this thought process that because it's aluminum, they don't need to clean it out. And I don't, you know, and I want you to kind of shed some light on that. And I know there's a lot of difference in how often you need to clean out your trailers. But, you know, once in a while you need to get them trailers out and you need to give it a good scrub and scrub it out and everything. And, of course, it depends how often you ride and how much urine is in there and how many horses you're hauling. But can you kind of give us an idea on that?
Well, let me interject a minute, because we have eaten up our time. We have Miss Sheila Odom that's on the line waiting to visit with us. What I would like to do, and this is going to be just so cool, is I want to invite you to come back in about a month and visit with us again, and let's talk about that trailer maintenance. And, you know, a lot of people kind of don't spend as much time out on the trails when the weather gets cold and bitter. And it's a good time to really take a look at the proper maintenance to winterize that trailer and do the good cleaning that you need to do instead of waiting until spring after it sat there all winter. So could you come back and join us again for another show?
Oh, Gary, I'd be honored and would love to.
Well, I would look forward to that. I know Tina May just had tons of questions that she wanted to get in, but like I say, time flies when you're having fun and you've got great guests. And by the way, I'd like to welcome Melissa and Showtime Trailers to the Equestrian Legacy Radio family, because I think you've become part of our family now and one of our Legacy Club sponsors. So we appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you all. And yes, and I look forward to coming back. And you got a wonderful show, and we'll talk again soon.
We look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Melissa. Bye-bye. Well, a lot of fun talking with Melissa. Tina May has got her list that I know was growing as we were talking about things to talk about the next time Melissa is with us. And let me remind you again that our trail trivia question tonight is, what three states does the Pacific Crest Trail run through? And so we're going to let you call in and answer that question during the second segment of the show. We remind you that you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Sheila Odom with Iron Mountain Horse Camp in Ivanhoe, Virginia.
You wait a little.
That's Michael Martin Murphy's Mountain Storm, and we are now traveling to the beautiful mountains of Virginia to talk with Miss Sheila Odom from Iron Mountain Horse Camp. Sheila, how are you tonight?
Doing just fine.
Well, have you had any mountain storms up there?
No, we've had beautiful weather lately.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, I hope that it stays that way. We've got the Labor Day weekend that's coming up, and I'm sure there are a lot of things going on there as well. And Tina May, you want to say hi? Tina May?
Hi, Sheila. Sorry about that.
Hey, Tina.
Tina May, you need to, well, actually, I thought you'd gone to sleep. I thought she said she was going to get her a cup of coffee, and maybe she forgot that. So, anyway, we're happy to have you joining us tonight, Sheila, and when we talked the other day, it's always fun to be able to visit with people before the show. Talk to us just a little bit about your trail riding experiences and how Iron Mountain Horse Camp came to be.
Okay, let's see. My husband and I, we've trail ridden a lot of places, and we were up in this area in 2000 or 1999, really, camping, and we run into this gentleman, and he was at a little country store, and he wanted to know if anybody was interested in some land in a house. And I said, no, we're from Fayetteville, North Carolina. I just could never see us leaving there. Well, Danny said, my husband, it wouldn't hurt to look. Well, of course, when we came around to the top of the house, on top of the mountain, the view, you know, that was it. So 6 months later, we're here. We got it cleaned up. People started coming. They'd say, we didn't have no idea who they were. They would just pull up to the house and say, would you mind if we park our trailers next weekend down there? We'd like to ride. And that's the way it got started. And then the next summer, we had built a barn, 34 stalls and 12 sites, and a bathhouse. And then that wasn't enough the first year. We ended up building another 40-stall barn and about 20 more sites. And then tack shop, which looks like a little log house, and the office, just kind of like a hangout for everybody that comes in. It's got a big deck. We have country music on Saturday night. On holidays like this Labor Day, we feed everybody on the holiday on that Saturday. We have a designated ride. We take people on. We come in. We have dinner for them. And then the music. So it's always been a great holiday for us, all of them.
Oh, wow. Well, I keep waiting for somebody to come on the show and say that when I was a little girl or a little boy, my dream was to open up a horse campground, and it just doesn't ever seem to happen that way.
I never thought I would, never. Never thought I'd own a horse camp. But it just kept growing and growing, and, you know, and now we had people come to us about 3 years ago, and they wanted to stay here at a permanent shelter. And I've got 16 now going, and people buy camper trailers or they put their horse trailer under this shelter, and they just come in and make themselves at home. We have everything upkept for them. They have stalls for the horses. They have a turnout, and they just love it. And they come and go when they please. So,
well, that's great. Well, what is your website address?
It's just Iron Mountain Horse Camp.
.com. Okay, Iron Mountain Horse Camp .com. I visited the website the other day. And when I was looking, I saw those shelters that you built. And describe those for us, because that's pretty neat. I don't think I've seen those anywhere before.
Well, our shelters are usually about 49 foot long, which contains motor homes or anything you have. If your trailer's 40 feet, you know, it goes in. They're 27 foot wide. They have a 12 foot deck. It goes a L around it. A lot of spacious, a lot of fun views. We're surrounded by mountains because we're kind of in the bottom of a valley, and there's like Iron Mountains are all the way behind us, and then you have the other mountains because we are the Mount Rogers Recreational Area in Jefferson National Park. So you don't have to haul anywhere. You ride out, and you can ride on any of the mountains you see that day. You might want to go to the right, left, back, you know, but people just keep coming, and they love it.
You have, like, five mountains surrounding you, right?
Yeah, so our mountains is about seven mountains. They go from here to Troutsdale. You can ride. The Virginia Highland Trail comes right by our camp. So you go out and hit the trailhead out back, and if you can ride 74 miles, which you'd have to sleep a couple nights on the trail.
Oh, wow.
Then you would be in, you know, up in Troutsdale, Damascus, at the northern east of the recreational area. And we are the southwest of the recreational area. And
they can pack in, leave from your camp, and there's a rest area, am I correct? And where they could actually stay overnight camp, set camp there, and then go on out,
mm-hmm.
and then they can stay there, and then do the on the way back they can also stop in. That would be ideal.
Well, a lot of times we will haul you up there and put
mm-hmm.
you out. Say at Fox Creek or somewhere, we'll put you out, and then you hit the trail, and you'll end up back here. So you wouldn't have to wait for a trailer or anything. You know, you don't have to worry about your truck parked up there. We just haul you, put you out, and then in the third day, you're back here.
And that
wow.
service, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It is.
Now, what part of, Sheila, for people that may be listening out on the West Coast tonight, or in another country that may be listening, what part of the state are you located in?
We're located between Galax, Virginia, and Whitfield, Virginia. And we're in between four cities, and it's 20 to 25 miles to go to the grocery store. Either way you want to go, that's what it's going to take. Because we're in the forest. We're right down in the middle of a little forest area. So
would that be the southeastern part of the state? Or?
We're in the southwest part
okay.
of Virginia,
all right.
in the mountain area.
All right. And I'm sure they can go to your website and get GPS coordinates or you know, directions and information on finding you there.
Well, I have a thing on my website. It says, please do not go by your GPS or your MapQuest or anything because it will send you over mountains that you cannot get your trailer around the curves.
Oh, wow.
And I have directions on there that if you follow those directions, it's the easiest, the simplest for turns and hauling up the mountains, the pulls that there is. But you can't go. I've had people not listen to me, and they'd get here and get out and kiss the ground because they didn't think they were going to make it over the mountain.
That's good information.
It's not good here.
Yeah, that's good information. I know I've had people try to find locations before, and they've ended up hours away from, you know, where they really needed to be to get to a campground somewhere. So that is really good information to have. So you guys are just kind of out there to where if folks want to come and spend a weekend or a week, they can just enjoy God's country.
That's right. And Danny and I have been here now for 14 years, and we have still not ridden all the trails. We'll go out with a group, say, that come in and had never ridden here, and we ride out with them. And I'll be riding, I'll see a trail, and I'm like, I'm going to ride that one day. And it's still saying that because I never get a chance to, you know. And I try to take people to the pauper places, the waterfalls and Coles Branch, you know, just a lot of different places is up here to ride and see.
Right, right. Well, that's... Yeah, go ahead, Tina May.
I said it sounds beautiful.
Like Tina needs to come up here and go ride, and I'll take you out.
I'll take you up on that, too. I would look forward to that. It sounds like you got some beautiful scenic riding, and you've got some great destinations, a lot of water crossings, and I'm really interested in that overnight ride myself, you know, pack in and staying out. That'd be fun.
There's a lot of water on the trails. There's a lot of scenic views. You can go into the pastures and just ride over and over rolling hills, and when you get to the top of the knoll, you can just see as far as the eye can see, you know. And
I bet it's really pretty in the fall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Sure,
well, it seems like we definitely have a couple of cowgirls joining us on the show tonight. With Sheila
trail
and
riders. Yes,
trail riders out there. Hey, we want to give folks a chance to call in and win that great breakaway halter from Foundation First Horsemanship. And we'll take just a little break. You can call in with your answer. And the question tonight was, the Pacific Crest Trail goes through three states. What are those three states? And the number that you can call is 213-943-3396, 213-943-3396, and we're going to take just a quick...
I just got one thing to say.
Yeah.
Head west. Head west.
you're giving them hints, aren't you? You're giving them hints.
All right,
well, we're going to take a break. We're going to listen to She is a Cowgirl by Belinda Gale. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. And when we come back, we'll take your answer to the Pacific Crest Trail trivia question tonight. That was hard to get out. And we'll be talking some more with Sheila and with Tina May.
She takes off her gloves, her shaps, and her spurs, hangs them up each on their peg. Dips into an evening of glittering stars, slaps her dusty old hat on her leg. She is a cowgirl, generations of life handed down. Just like her mother and her mother before her, she steadfastly stands in her ground. 'Cause she is a cowgirl to this life and this land she is bound. A hard gate works behind her, another before her, yet a smile plays on her pretty face. In hints of leather, she's strong and she's lean, yet moves with a smooth, supple grace. She is a cowgirl, generations of life handed down. Just like her mother and her mother before her, she steadfastly stands in her ground. 'Cause she is a cowgirl to this life and this land she is bound. She came from the city, blew in like the wind, when ranch life grew rough he blew out again. But the treasure God gave them, she clung to her breast, a small baby girl, daughter of the West. Now they work the cattle and they love their horses and the land that's wrapped round their souls. When she sees that passion in the eyes of her daughter, knows for her she must never let go. She is a cowgirl, generations of life handed down. Just like her mother and her mother before her, she steadfastly stands in her ground. 'Cause she is a cowgirl to this life and this land she is bound. She is a cowgirl, she'll do what she has to do. She is a cowgirl.
Belinda Gales, she is a cowgirl, and we're talking with Sheila Odom with Iron Mountain Horse Camp in Ivanhoe, Virginia. And that question may have been a little tough for some folks. Tina May, I thought it was pretty easy, but that's the Pacific Crest Trail, runs through three states. What are they? And to help you out a little bit, that runs from Mexico to Canada. On the West Coast, and so there are three states that kind of run along the West Coast, and we'll see if folks can call in and maybe win that nice breakaway halter from Foundation First Horsemanship. But while we're waiting on that, see if anybody calls with the answer. Sheila, you were talking about an event that you've got coming up this weekend?
Yes, the Labor Day. That's the holiday.
We have
a designated trail ride that will go out around 10 o'clock. We take people out, those that want to go, the ones that knows the place. Usually they want to ride on their own, and it doesn't really matter. It's whatever you'd like to do. And then when you come in, we serve dinner to everyone. Then we have the country music on the deck of the tack shop. And we sit around the fires in the fall and just have a good time, play cornhole, just like a big family. We're family-oriented here, and we are dog-friendly. Most everybody here has more dogs than we do horses sometimes. But we've never had a problem. Everybody loves their dogs. So.
Well, that's good. That's good.
I appreciate that one.
Yeah, today is what is today, Tina May?
It is National Dog Day.
That's right. This is Hug Your Dog Day. If you haven't done that today, you need to go out and do that. How many organized rides do you have during the course of a year, Sheila?
We probably put on about six organized rides. It's usually always on a Saturday because that's best for the people to go out.
Mm-hmm.
As far as getting off and coming and camping, I make it a long weekend. Sometimes we feed them out on the trail. We'll meet them and set up a thing and have food for them when they come in. And they really like that. So.
Have your rides, you have music and entertainment, and you have the food and things like that for people, like on the major holidays and on your big rides. Is that right?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yes.
Mhm. Now, do you have rides that are scheduled after this Labor Day ride?
We have a fall leaf ride that'll also be coming up, and we'll be feeding that weekend on the trail, and usually we have like pinto beans, ham, cornbread, you know. It's kind of country. So,
right. Right. And
perfect.
And what is the date for your fall ride?
I believe it's October, starting the 13th to the following Sunday.
Okay. All right.
Trying to
hit the leaves on the peak is hard.
Well, it's
celebration ride. You're going to have a polka ride, and you've got the dinner and the music, and that starts August 29th through September 2nd. Is that correct, Sheila?
Yes, it is.
Mhm. Mhm. It's going to be a good ride.
Okay. And we've got several people that have called wanting to see if they can answer that question. So let's take just a break and see if we can get an answer to our trail trivia tonight. And this is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America, and I have an area code 605. Who am I speaking with?
Phil Randall, Gary. How are you?
Well, hey, Phil, how are you doing?
Good.
Hi, Phil.
Hey, good evening, Tina. We're up here in beautiful Black Hills.
Oh, well, that's a great area to be riding in, too. How's your weather up here?
We've got 70 degrees and little few rain showers coming in, but the grass is still green.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Well, do you know what three states the Pacific Coast, the Pacific Crest Trail goes through?
Yeah, it runs through Washington, Oregon, and California.
All right. Well, you know, Tina May got that right earlier tonight, too. So I was, I kind of test her on these things. If she can get it right, then we're good to go.
Well, you can't argue with her.
Thanks.
Goodness. Well, you're quite the trail rider. We enjoy following you on Facebook and watching the pictures there. And Sheila, this guy is quite a chuck wagon guy. He does some chuck wagon cooking and restoration as well.
Yes, he does.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, didn't you just complete a buffalo run?
Nope, that's coming up here in the latter part of September, actually a month from today. It's going to be the annual Custer State Park in South Dakota. It's going to be their annual Buffalo Roundup. It's the 49th year they do this. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
That will be great.
I get to do that every year and carry a flag and go out there and I just have a good time. It's 2 days of a controlled stampede, if you will.
Oh, that'll be exciting. We'll watch for your photographs on that. And, Phil, if you would, go to our website, equestrianlegacy.net, and where it says contact us, if you'll put your shipping information, then we're going to get that breakaway halter from Foundation First Horsemanship to you this week.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for calling in, and we look forward to talking with you again very soon. Thanks, Phil.
Okay, Gary. Yep, have a good night, folks.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
All right. I still have not told people what your answer was about the Goodnight Loving Trail, Tina May.
I got a story behind that.
There is
a story behind that. Now you're going to make me tell it.
Well, Sheila, have you got time for her to tell a story?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Gary's a little ornery, and he was asking me this question. I was actually in the middle of something, and I was busy, and I was working, and I was doing something, and all I heard was good night. And when he asked me the question, he said good night, I came back and said, Julie, good night, because I thought that was talking about.
Well, the question was who was the Goodnight Loving Trail named after, and so she said Julie Goodnight, and of course Julie was not born for, you know, like over a century later, so that was a pretty cute answer. And by the way, on our show on Thursday, we're going to be talking about the American Horsewoman's Challenge, and Julie is one of the judges for that, and so I told Jim Hutchins to tell Julie what your answer was for that. So she'll enjoy that. She'll enjoy that. But anyway,
that taught me pay attention.
That taught you to pay attention. Actually, when I said good night, I was afraid you were going to hang up. So that was.
No, wouldn't do that.
All right, well, we have to have a little fun. But, Sheila, one more time, let's give them your website address.
It's ironmountainhorsecamp.com.
All right, ironmountainhorsecamp.com. They've got their Labor Day ride that's coming up this weekend. And is that full?
Yes, sir, we're sold out.
All right, so too late on that one, but what about your October fall ride? Is that still...
Now, the fall ride, we have still some openings.
All right, so I would encourage
another
folks...
Another one in between, September 27th. She's got an early fall ride. I was looking on her schedule, and I would imagine that's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Still time for people to get in on that one?
Oh, yeah, it is.
All right, so go to IronMountainHorseCamp.com and contact Sheila. It sounds like a great place to go visit this fall. Very, very hospitable folks there, and I can just imagine how gorgeous that is back there in the surrounded by those five mountains at Iron Mountain Horse Camp. So, Sheila, anything you'd like to leave our audience with tonight?
I think we covered everything. I appreciate you having us.
Well, we've been delighted to have you.
On.
Yeah, and, you know, when Tina May comes up there to ride, we're going to send a camera with her so she can get some photographs and bring back and share with our audience as well. So you'll have to hold her to that. I know when that you started talking about those beans and taters that was that's all it took to close the deal on that one. So that was great. Well, listen, Sheila, thanks so much. And we've been talking with Sheila Odom of Iron Mountain Horse Camp in Ivanhoe, Virginia. Sheila, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you a lot. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you,
Sheila.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Tina May, I may let you pick out the trivia question for next week.
That one wasn't too bad. You're scaring people. You scared them off.
That wasn't too bad. We had several callers in there at the last few minutes to answer that question. So, fun show. A lot of great information from Melissa with Showtime Trailers. Virginia, sounds like that would be a great trip up to Iron Mountain Horse Camp. Do you think you could get enough riding in up there?
Oh my goodness, yes. Yes, I could stay a month.
Well,
Virginia's beautiful. In the fall, up in that area, it's got to be gorgeous.
Well, it's a beautiful state, and again, that's IronMountainHorseCamp.com. Check out their website. Be sure and visit with them. And Tina May, tell us about this Legacy Club.
Ooh, we're having our first monthly drawing giveaway coming up on the 31st of this month. So people can jump online and join our Legacy Club. It's free. And just for joining, your name automatically goes into a drawing on our monthly drawings. And it also gives you plenty of discounts from our sponsors as well. And they keep growing. So keep watch and just jump on, join us, be part of a Legacy Club. And you may have the monthly drawing next week.
And that is for a beautiful portable fire ring that's made in Texas by the shop. You can visit our website there and click on the shop's logo, and it will take you to their site for more information. But it's a portable fire ring. It's beautiful, and I think everyone would enjoy having that. There's nothing better than a great fire to sit around with friends on these fall evenings that are coming up pretty soon. So we'll be giving that away. And then we also have a year-end prize that is a terrific item by Hydra Horse, and that's a revolutionary two-horse automatic watering system for your trailer. And I think you have one of those, don't you?
Yes, I do, and I absolutely love it. It's so convenient, so easy and handy, and I've always got fresh water for my horses, and I always got water from home.
All right, so some great items that just by joining the Legacy Club, you're eligible for the drawings on a monthly basis, and then our year-end prize, as well as some great discounts from our Legacy Club sponsors as well. So what's coming up next week on Saddle Up America?
Next week, we have Jim McGarvey. He is the chairman of Backcountry Horsemen of America. And then Jim Weidman with Pure Country Campground in New Berlin, New York.
All right, so we're going up to New York, and that is a beautiful country. It's not all New York City. And some beautiful, beautiful countryside in the state of New York. So that sounds like a great show. We're tickled to have Backcountry Horsemen. They have been part of our programming for a year now. And beginning in September, they'll be moving to Tuesday night to join us for Saddle Up America. So Jim's always a great guest with great, great information for our trail riders, issues and legislation that people need to be aware of to keep the trails open. And then on Thursday at noon Central Standard Time for the Campfire Cafe, I mentioned earlier, we're going to be talking with Jim Hutchinson, Mary Miller Jordan, and our musical guest Templeton Thompson about the first American Horsewomen's Challenge. And this is going to be an amazing event that's taking place in Guthrie, Oklahoma in October. A terrific competition just for women, the first of its kind, for some phenomenal horse trainers and some great judges that they have in place there as well. So tune in Thursday at noon Central Standard Time for Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe, and next Tuesday night for Saddle Up America. And Tina May, as always, we invite people to listen to our shows and remind them that if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride.
Get ready
Equestrian
for the ride.
Legacy Radio. Thanks for listening. Tina May, talk with you soon.
Talk to you soon, Gary. Good night.
All right. Good night. We'll close out with Along the Buffalo Trail by Belinda Gale. Thanks for listening tonight.
Like a thread, pure as gold, along the buffalo.
buffalo.
Thank you.